Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today. Well, if you've been with me the last couple days this week, we have been talking about a very interesting subject, which on the surface doesn't seem to hold much significance for us, but I contend that the spiritual principles connected with the vow of the Nazarite, which is spoken of in Numbers, the sixth chapter. It was something that the Lord spoke to Moses, that a man or a woman could separate themselves to the Lord for a specified voluntary period of time. And during that time, they were to abstain from wine or strong alcohol. And not only that, but anything that related to the fruit of the grape, the grapevine, raisins or grapes themselves. And also their hair should not be cut, and they must not touch or come near a dead body, even close family relatives who passed away. And these were all marks of a total specified consecration to the Lord for a period of time. God didn't require it. He didn't place it upon it. But if someone chose to draw close to the Lord, that was the purpose of it, that they were bound by the words of their mouth. And one of the reasons that they were not to come near a dead body is that the consecration that they were under could not be half-hearted. It had to be complete and all the way. There can be no acceptable consecration to the Lord that is not complete, a complete separation from the unclean. And for us, New Testament believers, that means we can have one foot in the church and one foot in the world, that we cannot try to balance both worlds, which are totally contradictory, that we have to make a choice. God does not want us to be a part of the world, the world's mentality. Come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord, that ye be not partakers of the unclean thing. So it's a complete separation from the unclean. We're again talking about these specific aspects of this vow, but where we're going is to find out what's the purpose, what are the applications for us today as New Testament believers. If they came in contact, a man or a woman, with that which was unclean, like a dead body, even a close relative, it was to defile and mar their holy relationship with God. The dead belonged to another world, so that the Nazarite must not pollute himself with any deadening thing. Jesus said of his disciples, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." John 15:1, "I have chosen you out of the world." 2 Corinthians 6:14-17, "Wherefore come you out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." So those scriptures alone are pretty clear as to God's feelings in terms of separating from that which would defile us. So death is linked with sin, which is linked with defilement. All right, so the Nazarite vow was entire, it was complete, it was voluntary. We're looking at the aspects of the vow. Number one, it was voluntary. It was complete, not half-hearted, it was entire. And thirdly, it was an open profession. Verse 5 of that sixth chapter of Numbers says, "All the days of the vow of his or her separation shall no razor come upon his head until the days be fulfilled, which he separateth himself unto the Lord. Now, the custom, this is in terms of the Hebrew men, they cut their hair as much as modern Western men do. In 2 Samuel, the 14th chapter, verse 26, it said, Absalom, remember he had a very generous endowment of hair? It said he polled or cut his head. It means, in this text, to cut the hair from the head. Now, they were not to shave their heads so closely that they resembled the heathen gods or the heathen priests, the pagan priests, who shaved their heads, nor were they to resemble the Nazarites, who refused to cut their hair at all during that time of separation. So, in New Testament times, long hair on men was considered to be contrary to nature. There is, I won't take the time to read it, but a scripture in 1 Corinthians 11:14. So basically, the unwillingness to cut the hair for a specified time was like an outward sign. It was an identifying characteristic. It was their public testimony to where the choices they were making at this time in their life. It was indicative of their consecration to God. The Nazarite has nothing to be ashamed of. He doesn't walk as other men walk. He's peculiar. He's set apart. And of course, this doesn't refer to clothesline religion. You know, there are some that believe that, well, if you shouldn't cut your hair, and for ladies, just put your hair up in a bun, no makeup, sleeves down to your wrists, that sort of thing. It's not the physical appearance or physical restrictions or man-made rules that are important. It is a heart that is set apart for God. Our consecrated life is a light that cannot be set under a bushel. You don't have to advertise. You don't have to put a sign, I'm a Christian. It will, how will they know we're Christians? They'll know we are Christians by the love, the godly love that we manifested to them and to one another. Love is the distinguishing mark that separates us as a people set apart for God. By this shall all men know ye are my disciples. All right, let's look at some more aspects of the vow. It does involve great self-denial. Abstinence from strong drink or wine was the same as for priests when they went in to do the service of the tabernacle. Not only intoxicants, but everything derived from the vine, from the kernels to the husk, from grapes, raisins. In practice, this meant a giving up of the only luxury that was readily available to all in that day. The meaning of the Nazarite vow was a voluntary act of self-sacrifice. God did not require it, but to demonstrate love and consecration and dedication and commitment to God, a person is willing, man or woman, to go for a period of time depriving themselves, if you will, of something that they might enjoy. And this is called, in a sense, it is a fast, and there's many different kinds of fastings. And actually, the Lord is very clear. He says that we will, in that, it says in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, when you fast, don't appear as unto men to fast. Don't disfigure your face. And so when he's talking in those great regulations that he presented of a Christian life, the Sermon on the Mount, he says, when you fast. So in his heart and mind, it was understood that Christians would fast. And there's many kinds of fasting. Let me just say this. Fasting is something a Christian should do. What and how and when you do it is between you and God. A total fast, for example, like Esther, she went 3 days without food or water. That's a very severe fast. You can't go beyond 3 days without water or shouldn't. And then there is the kind of fast Jesus went on, a 40-day fast on water. Some people are led of God to do that. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and obviously it doesn't say he drank water, but obviously he did, because he was a man. He wasn't doing something supernatural. Now, Moses neither ate nor drank in the presence of God on the mount when he was getting the law, but that was a supernatural intervention. And so there, and then there's fasting by juices. There's fasting a meal a day. It's something between you and God. You can fast sweets. You can fast sodas. You can fast caffeine, coffee, tea. You can fast desserts, television, something that is pleasant to you. It is the principle of self-denial. I hope you understand what I'm saying. It's really between you and God, and nobody should dictate to you how you should fast. There's a great deal of variety. It depends. You know, some people are not able to do a water fast. They've got physical conditions. So it's a matter of what God would lay on your heart. And so if you do feel to fast, it's better to fast with something that is not quite as dramatic. Well, I'm going to go on a water fast for, 21 days. Well, I suggest you try a water fast for one day and see how that goes. But anyway, the point is, the Nazarite vow is a fast. It involves self-denial. And so the meaning of the Nazarite vow was an act of self-sacrifice. The fruit of the vine might be very sweet, but he cannot touch it. And if a father, mother, or sister, or brother die, he can't see or go near them to bury them. These things were lawful for others, but not for a Nazarite when he was on his vow. If he chose to break it, then, because he was fasting, if you will, unto the Lord, then if he was going to do it again, he had to start from the beginning, in other words. And for us, what does this mean? Our natural inclinations must give place to the Word of God. Self-denial of the consecrated life means, not my will, but thy will be done. Praise God. Well, there's more to share, and we'll continue right on in this vein on tomorrow's broadcast. I invite you to join me. And as always, if you have prayer needs, I invite you to write and share your needs. I personally read and answer the mail. No one else has ever done that, Brother Glass or myself. And know that I will pray for you and send back by letter, if you give your mailing address, whatever will be a blessing to you. So many over the decades have been blessed by a timely word that they received from the Lord. Thank you for joining me, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.